Welcome to Parshas Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Hakoyen Heshiv es Chamasi Mi'al Bnei Yisrael. Do we not know who Pinchas was? And if you think we didn't know, well, we were told last week's parsha. The very end of last week's parsha, we're told, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Hakoyen. What's the repetition that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Hakoyen? Says Rashi. Because that the Shvatim were mevazahim. Lefishu ya Shvatim mevazim oisai. They said, Harisem ben Puti zeh shepitim avi imoi agolim avoy dazara. Who is this guy? Chutzpah. This guy is grandson of a person who spent his time fattening. Pitem is fat. Same word. Umafaten agolim avoy dazara. Wasn't stam worshiping avoy dazara. He is fattening animals. He was into it. And this is the guy, and he goes in Horag Nasi Shevet B'Yisrael. So therefore, the pasuk says, no, in fact, he's really the grandson of Aaron HaKohen. So what's their taina? I mean, they knew that Zimri deserved it. And he's definitely doing it wrong. So what's their taina? So it must be that even as a heter, Kanoim Poigim Boy, as a heter, the person who's Boy Aram is, the person who is having forbidden relationships with a shiksa, it's mutter to kill him. It all depends what's your intention. And therefore the Shvatim, they felt, who's this guy? Can't be he's that sincere. It must be he's getting angry. Has some anger, something to it. And therefore it's Ritzicha. That was their taina, because, and it's a real taina. But therefore Hashem had to say, no, he was Pinchas ben Aaron HaKohen. Aaron was an Oyev Shalom, Reidev Shalom. That for sure, what he did, whatever he did, had no personal intention. It was kula l'shem shamayim. When a mouse enters the house, there's a mouse in the house. There are two beings who want this mouse to be killed. There's the housewife, the baras habayis. She wants this mouse to be eradicated. You know who else? It's the cat. The cat also wants the mouse to be killed. My nafkemina. What's a nafkemina? What's the ramification between the housewife and the cat? They both want the mouse to be killed. The nafkemina is that the housewife says, I hope this never happens to me again. I hope never will mouse enter my house again. And the cat says, I wish this would be some more and more. Oh, this is great. Let's have some more mice and jump on them. Right? So, if a person has some personal agenda, he likes the action, he likes being a hero, he likes the press, he likes the cameras, he likes the fame. That's Ritzicha. There has to be this Kula Shem Shemayim, there's nothing there, there's no personal agenda. But really, this is a very deep, this is a very deep rooted action of Pinchas. The roots of Pinchas start very much early on. It's ready to be found in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the pay base, says the Gemara, that after Pinchas did what he did, the Malachi Ashoris wanted to push him down. And Hashem said, Hanichuloi, leave him alone. He's a Kanoi ben Kanoi. He's a Zilot ben, son of a Zilot. What does that mean? What does it mean, Kanoi ben Kanoi? Says Rashi, because he is the son of Levi, who did Kanos in the Ir Shechem. Shechem, when Dina was captured. And so Levi went to eradicate the city. So already you see in the one there's a connection, there's a deep-rooted connection. What Pinchas did is stem from his forefather Levi. And even more, The Midrash says that when Pinchas saw Zimri doing what he did, Zimri was from Shevet Shimon, as it says right here. Zimri ben Salu, the sea based Avla Shimoini. So the Midrash says that Pinchas said, who is it? What's happening? Zkeini v'skeinov omdu v'gid godru hapirsa azos b'shem. My grandfather and his grandfather, they together teamed up to stop the riots. Dina had been raped, and who took action? My grandfather and his grandfather. How could it be that he's breaking what had been fenced up, and he's publicly doing a riot? Therefore Pinchas went to take action. Again, we're seeing it's very, very deep rooted, going all the way back to Shechem and Dinon. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes Yaakov, so he talks about this. He points out what happened in Shechem. Dinah was raped, and Shimon and Levi went ahead and they wiped out the whole city. And Yaakov said, you put me in danger, what are you doing? And they say, Hakazoyne Yasles Achoyseinu. That's what they said. Could we let our sister be a harlot? Hakazoyne Yasles Achoyseinu. That's how they reacted. In Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov responds. And when he gives the brachas, and he's just before his death, he gives the brachas, and to Shevet and Shimon Levi, he tells them off. And he says, Achal came by Yaakov, Afitzim by Israel. I will divide them up. I will spread them around in Israel. Again, we're seeing it was Kanos. They were fighting. They stood up for Dinah, Hashem. The pasuk there says in by Shechem, Achei Dinah. They're called Achei Dinah. Why them? Because says Rashi, they're Moisa Nefesh for Dinah. They were Kanoi. What happens? Yaakov punishes them and said, you know what, I'm going to divide you up. You're going to have to scatter around. Levi's going to have to go scattering around, finding his food, getting his maestros. He doesn't get an achlo. And Shimon is going to be from the Melamdei Tinoikos, as Rashi brings down. The Melamdei Tinoikos, that will be Shimon. They're going to have to travel from city to city. Says Abiyaku, what's going on? You have this guy who's over fiery, and the children have to suffer. What's going on? Can you imagine taking a criminal who needs some ripui bisuk, right? And he's giving kids. No, says the Yaakov. No, he's worthy for the task. Who's gonna trouble himself and leave the comfort of his home and travel to teach the Jewish children? Who's that gonna be? It needs kanos. It needs a kanoi. What is kanos? It's doing what has to be done with no personal agenda. Just doing it, immediate response, and doing things without thinking of myself. That's a kanoi. Therefore, Shimon, that's for him. Let him be the benamdei tinoike. No, it's a hard job to travel around and teach kids. And you need someone who's very committed. It's a kanoi. A kanoi has to, he'll do the task, and he'll travel around making sure the Jewish children will be learning Torah. So very nice. It's very deep rooted. The kanos of Levi and the kanos of Shimon are very deep rooted. But what happens? Here it backfires. By Shimon it backfires. Zimri ben Salu, he wasn't just he couldn't control himself. He did a kanos for Avera. He did called 24,000 people. He went and challenged Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Who let you marry your wife? It wasn't just he couldn't hold himself back. He was too weak. It was a kanos le'itza. What happened? Says the Yaakov Kamenetsky, the yisoid is that kanos has to be done through Torah. Therefore, Shevet Levi, who they were not enslaved in Mitzrayim, their time, they were by to themselves. Therefore, they are Torah. Therefore, their kanos was Torahic. Where did it come up? Came up Chet Ha'Egel, the eagle, who's going to go and kill all the idol worshippers? It was Shevet Levi. They jumped to the task. Kanos, they killed the brothers, as the person said, their own families they're willing to kill. No personal chance to just do it. Do what has to be done. In this week's parasha, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Rashi points out that there's a few families missing. And we count the families. There's families missing in Pasuk Chof Gimel. Where are they? Says Rashi, because they went backwards. They went back to, on the way back to Mitzrayim, they're trying to go back. And Rodfu Bnei Levi Achreihem, Yachzirem V'Hogu Bem Sheva Mishpachas. The seven families were missing because Shevet Levi went to kill them. And Levi lost four Mishpachas after that. A whole civil war. So who went to do it? Shevet Levi. It's Kanos. But it's Torah Digger Kanos. Then we have Pinchas. Here's Pinchas, and he does. And he goes and kills Nasi Shebi Yisrael. And later on, in Yeshua, we meet Pinchas. What happens in Yeshua? In Yeshua, Perichov base, you'll see over there that Bnei God of Meruven set up a Mizbeach in Ever Yarden. They made a Mizbeach, which, if you just to offer sacrifices, the Shutei Chutz, Yochayev Kores. They didn't offer sacrifices, but they built the Mizbeach. So Pinchas gets sent to go and battle them. And Pinchas comes and he says, listen, if you, what's bothering you? You know, if you, why don't you just come home, leave the land over here, and come to Eretz Yisrael? What's he doing? He's telling 2.5 Shvatim, come back to us. Where are you going to put them? Gush Katif, when you evacuate, you have to find them, where to live. Where are you going to put 2.5 Shvatim? How can you do that? No, it's Kanos. It's not a Shaila. Because Pinchas knew that we're going to stop them from doing Shchusei Chutz. So, come back home. What will be? We'll work it out. It's not my problem. I'm not concerned about my personal agenda. I want to do Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem is to prevent you from doing Shchusei Chutz. It'll be very uncomfortable for me. So what? I'm a Kanoi. I'm working Hashem Shamayim. It's not for myself. It's not for my party. It's not for my seat. It's Kanos Hashem Shamayim. So come back home. Where we're going to live? It's not, we'll work it out. We'll be uncomfortable for everyone. So what? I'm preventing the Chilul Hashem. I don't care about it. It's all Kanos. Kanos the Torah. But by Shimon didn't have the Torah. And therefore by Shimon it backfired. And by Shimon, it was Kanos that for the Aveira. So that's the story of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And Emes Yaakov, you find in Parshas Vayichi. And therefore, his story is that Kanos has to be stemmed through Torah. Sorry? And therefore, it's only the Gdolei HaDor can decide what to do Kanos about. They need to be consulted. Because it's up to them to decide, is this worthwhile making Kanos about or not? Maybe leave it alone. In the book Mechitzatzam, I saw there from the Chazon Ish said that Kanos is to be compared to an alarm clock. It's good that the alarm rings, but you also have the snooze button. Sometimes you decide to turn it off. It's good the alarm goes to wake you up, be aware of the situation, but sometimes you turn it off. And who's going to decide? It's the Torah. It's only through the Torah can you make the proper assessment when to react and when to not react. What did Pinchas get out of this? Says the Torah, Lechein Emor Hineni Noisanois Brisi Shalom. You're going to give him Brisi Shalom. In Haftorah of Parshas Toldos, at the very end, we're reading Sukkim in Malachi. And there it says, Brisi hoisa itai, ha chayim ba shalom. Rashi over there, Malachi, says it's talking about Pinchas. So what is the bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaChayim VaShalom. Gets Chayim. Now, says the Brisker Rav. There's an opinion who says that Pinchas is really Eliyahu. Pinchas is Eliyahu. Eliyahu is really Pinchas. So therefore, it comes out. What's HaChayim VaShalom? Gets eternity. Eternity. HaChayim, the bris of Hashem, he gets long life. Because Eliyahu still, Eliyahu is alive. So that's the bris of Shalom. It says the bris of it's even more than this. Because, right? So therefore, when Kuna, now, therefore, then when Pinchas becomes a Kohen, bris kuhunas oilam, right? The next passage says he gets kuhuna. What it really means, it's kuhunas oilam for himself as well. He turns into an eternal kohen because he lives forever, so that he's now kohen forever. It's not just for his children; it's for himself as well. Says the Briskov even more. What's going to happen? The Rambam writes in Akdoma to the Sefer that we have a Masoros of the Torah Shebaal Peh, from Moshe to Yeshua to the Kenim, and you go to Eliyahu. There's a whole tradition of Torah Shebaal Peh, and it stops by the Talmud. That's the end of the tradition of Torah Shebaal Peh. There's no more that we have in the Talmud, what we have, but that's it. There is no more. We don't have any of the Masoros from mouth to, from generation to generation of the Torah Shebaal Peh. There's no such person. Therefore, what's going to happen to the rest of the Masoros, the things we didn't get? So the Gemara says in Tumura that when Moshe died, they lost 300 halachas. 300 halachas were forgotten by Evloi Shel Moshe. So they asked Yeshua, "No, go and ask Hashem for what the 300 halachas were." He says, "I can't." They asked Eliyahu, "Go ask Urim Betumim. Type in 300 halachas. Get it back." Right? And no, I can't. Ein Novi Rashi Chadesh Dovra Me'atzah. We're going to be paralyzed. We're paralyzed. Because once we have, if we want to retrace the Torah Shebaal Peh, it can't be done. You ask Shemaim. No Nevuah is not going to help us, and no Urim V'Tumim. So who's going to give it to us? We need someone who has the Masorah. So who is that someone going to be? It's going to be Eliyahu. Because Eliyahu is he's one of those people with the tradition. So Eliyahu is going to give it to us. Not through Shemaim, because he got it from Moshe Rabbeinu. He got the tradition. So it comes out, and since Eliyahu is Pinchas, it's going to be Pinchas going to be doing that. Therefore, that's the continuation of the pasuk over there. Teras emes hoysa befiu. And therefore, kisit se koye nishbru das, v'soyro yuvakshu mipiu. We're going to be asking Torah from Pinchas. That's the continuation of the pasuk. So Pinchas merits two things: kuhuna, kuhunas oilam, and he merits Torah. You can give the Torah back to Am Yisrael. What's the connection? What's the connection between Pinchas and Torah? The very end of Parsha of the Torah of Parsha told us. It says the Briskot. Briskot says because this alma halacha, when it happened, Moshe was crying. He couldn't remember what's the din. And Pinchas reminded him of the din that called a boy aramis canoy poikin boy. Also, he kind of reminds us of the Torah. He merits Torah. That's the Brisker Rav. I want to add, based on what we said last week. Last week we talked about that the Gemara calls there's people who are oisim meisa zimri or mevakshin tzchar ka Pinchas. people do what Zimri did, the immorality of Zimri, and they request rewards for like Pinchas. And it's illogical. There are things which are bad but they're logical. If someone is pressured for money, he steals. Is it right? No, it's wrong. Is it illogical? No, it's logical, but it's wrong. It's a horror. You know what? A person who has he's over loy sachmot. He's choymet eishes ish. He falls. Is it wrong? It's terrible. But is he illogical? He's not illogical. At the time, he couldn't hold himself back. There are things which are logical. But to do a maisa zimri and to request chalka pinchas is crazy. This guy needs to be sent to a mental hospital. A person who has what's wrong? Do a maisa zimri, do the morality zimri, and expect to be rewarded like Pinchas. What's going on over here? So we spoke last week. Pshat is it was a mahalach that Zimri had a mahalach. He was the first reformist. That he said, so what was happening? He had the avodah zara. They were going to the Bnos Midyan, and that was leading to avodah zara, the Baal Peor, which led to the Chor Af Hashem. So therefore, Zimri was saying, let's eradicate. Let's compromise on the issue of being boiled aramis, and then it'll be done at home. No, it's like permitting drugs. Some countries they permit you to have drugs. So to bring it home, and then they won't do the avodah zarah. So it was a fight. He was trying to eradicate the Torah. And he went to fight Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, "Who let you marry Bat Yisrael?" That he was trying to show, and therefore he did it publicly to show them that this issa doesn't exist anymore. He was trying to eradicate the issa of marrying a shiksa. So who stopped that? Pinchas. If it's gavaldik, he wasn't right. So therefore, Pinchas saved. Stop this. He fixed up the Torah. The Torah was under assault. That there was someone trying to make be reformist and cut away from the Torah. So therefore, Pinchas in his act, not only did he save the Chil Hashem, but in fact he has a source that he kept the Torah intact. We now know there's no one can go ahead and just cut off the Torah because they feel like it. They think it's worthwhile. Oh, so therefore it's midah connected midah that he zoicha to mamid the Torah Shabbat Peh. And therefore, a Torah of action repeal, he's zoicha to be elyo, and never lost the love, but he'll be giving us back the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. Because he's part of that chain, he got it from Moshe, and he's still alive. That's through what he did. He's zoicha to kunas oilam, he's zoicha to therefore the bris is bris oilam, as you see in Malachi. Therefore, he lived for forever. He'll still be around, and then he'll give us the Torah Shabbat Peh back, all of it, all the stuff we don't have. That's a gevaldik of midah connected midah. Because he was in fact saving the Torah. The Torah was under attack. And the pasuk says, "Lachein amorloi, hineni noisen es bris yishalayim." And the Medrash says, "Lachein bedin, bedin yovai vitoi scharay, deserved it." What does that mean? Deserved it? You don't get schar in this world. The person wears tefillin, bedin he gets schar in this world? No, he doesn't. It's hard in the world to come. What does it mean? Bedin yovai vitoi scharay. Says the Beis Halevi. Basically, you can find it in Drush number Drush Aleph. The Gemara says in Kiddushin. The Gemara says on the Mishnah, Eilu dvarim shadam oisa oison ve'oichad perusein ba'olam hazeh va'keren kemes ha'olam abo. Kibud avayim, gwinus chasadim, hava shalom, v'samu torah neged kulam. You get the Paris in this world, and the Karen, the principle, is waiting for you in the world to come. Ask the Gemara, what about Shiloh HaKen? Shiloh HaKen. Why is that not in there? Does the Gemara know? Because the pasuk says the Gemara, in Kiddushin Daf Men, Imru Tzadik Ki Toiv, Ki Pri Malaleim Yochelu. And the Gemara asks, there's a Tzadik Toiv, and there's a Tzadik Ra. What does that mean? What does that mean, a Tzadik Toiv? Says the Gemara, if it's a toiv la briois, the toiv la shamayim, then you get the Paris in this world. There's different mitzvahs. You wear tefillin, right? It's a good mitzvah. But you're being toiv to the shamayim. You're not benefiting people. Shiluach HaKen, it's a mitzvah. It's only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not a tzaddik toiv. You're not a tzaddik toiv. You're not helping people if you don't get the peres in this world. But all the mitzvahs over there, they are kibud ve'ein, gminus chasadim, havoa sholem. These are all double mitzvahs. They toiv l'shamayim because they're a mitzvah, and toiv l'abriyos. Then we get peres in this world. Says the Beis Halevi, what did Pinchas do? Simply, what did he do? He did a kanot. He stopped the chilul Hashem. What is that? So, superficially, it's a toiv l'shamayim, not a toiv l'abriyos. He stopped the chilul Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the pasuk. Says the Pinchas ben Loz ben Aaron HaKoyim. Hey, Shivis Chamasi Mal Bnei Yisrael. Bekanois Kinasi Beseicham. Velo Yichilitis Bnei Yisrael Bekinasi. I didn't destroy Am Yisrael. So therefore the Torah is telling us, what Pinchas did wasn't just for the benefit of Shammai. He prevented Am Yisrael from being destroyed. It's a Toiv HaShamayim and Toiv HaBriyos. Therefore Lachem, he deserves it. He's now one of the, he's now in the list. Therefore he's a Toiv HaShamayim, Toiv HaBriyos. Therefore he's a Tzadik Toiv. Therefore Prima L'Aleim Yochiru. Therefore Lachem, therefore he deserves it. Yovah V'Yitzchara in this world, he deserves it. Because he's one of that group. He's a Toiv HaShamayim, a Toiv HaBriyos. What he did was for the benefit of the Am Yisrael as well. So he gets double. He gets the Peres in his world. That's the Beis Halevi. But we learn from this amazing insight. Okay, so the Gemara told us that this mission is all about that tzaddik with toiv l'abriyos and toiv l'shamayim. Okay, kibud al veim, we understand. It's double. It's a two-faced mitzvah. Havoah shalom, double, two-faced mitzvah. Toiv l'shamayim, toiv l'abriyos. What about Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah? Between you and Hashem? We see from this Gemara that Talmud Torah is also a toiv l'shamayim and toiv l'abriyos. That's what we see. The schus, the Torah, causes shefa, causes bracha. Without the Torah, the world wouldn't stand. Whatever you want to say. But that's what we see from this Gemara. That's the definition of the Mishnah. That learning Torah is not just for the benefit of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's for the benefit of people. And it's a schus to have a town, to have a shul, the people are learning Torah, it's a schus for everyone. Everyone benefits from this. Okay, we carry on the sukkim, we meet. Again, we're counting Am Yisrael. We meet. Bar Korach again. In Pasuk Yudalev, Perek Ovav. Ubnei Korach loy mesu. We're told that the sons of Korach did not die. Perek Ovav, Pasuk Yudalev. How come? Why did Ubnei Korach didn't die? Because they did tshuva. Question is, Korach also did tshuva. The Gemara tells us that Rav Basra, I think, that there was an Arab, and he took someone to some Amora. Said, "Listen, what do you hear?" He heard Korach saying, "Moshe emes, Torah emes." So, how are they different than Korach? So, the Elopian said, "Because the Korach le mesu, they were still alive when they did tshuva." By Korach, it was a split second later, it was Jews dead. See, we learn from here what life is. Life is such an opportunity. What we can do in this world, we can't do in the world to come. And if Bnei Korach lo meisu, that's where they were saved. That's where they were saved. They weren't dead yet. They could still do tshuva. They saved themselves. Korach was already dead. It's too late. When the Gra was passing away, he was crying. He said, "Look at the tzitzis. What you can do in this world for a pruta, if you have tzitzis, the world to come, it won't be." There's a Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Dalet. But the Gemara says that this world is like a chasana. Grab and eat, grab and drink, because this world is like a wedding. Abiyatu Galinsky, says when he was in Novaldok, Baruch Hashem, he was in Beirak, he's still alive, Baruch Hashem, he was in Siberia. When he was in Novaldok, there was a bocha. He heard a bocha staying over this gemara again and again. It was a stipler. He was from the Hoshua Bokram of Novaldok, and he was saying over this gemara, this world is like a wedding. Grab and eat, grab and drink. Marshal Madovadena. A person goes to the wedding. You see food, lavish food, wonderful music, friends, great, couldn't be better. You receive a business call, you stand, you go outside, you take your call, get busy, you come back 2 hours later, nothing there. The chairs are stacked, no food, no band, no people. Say, hey, where's my food? Where is it? The wedding's over. If you had the wedding, what you eat in the wedding, you gained. We didn't grab in the wedding, it's gone. There's no band, no nothing, it's all gone, there's nothing left. But this world is like a wedding. Chaparayim, obviously he's referring to chaparayim, the mitzvahs. Grab a mitzvah, because what you don't grab now will be gone. It's like a wedding. Chatoi vacho, appreciate life, utilize life. Life is so precious, and it goes, it's going, so use it. And Bnei Korach Mesu, because they were still alive, they chapped the rind the last second, and they got saved. Appreciate life. Again, referring to we're counting all the figures, the numbers of Am Yisrael, and in Perek Chavov, Pasuk Mem Aleph, we count Bnei Binyamin. How many the tribe of Binyamin, how many did they have? Says the Chumash, Chamisha V'arboim Elef, V'sheish Mois, 45,600. That was Shevet Binyamin. How much was Shevet done? So, and Shevet done was how much? Harbo V'shishim Elef was 64,400. Almost a third more. Binyamin are 45,600, and Dan are 64,400, almost a third more. Says the Chofetz Chaim, how many children did Binyamin have? 10. He had 10 children. And yet, how many descendants does he have? He has 45,000. How many children did Dan have? 1. He was actually deaf. He only had 1 child. Yet, his descendants are much more. The descendants of Binyamin. So therefore, what's the message? That if you're Zoicha, the Siyata Shemaya, you'll get a bracha. And if you're not Zoicha, the bracha won't come. You could be poor and have a bracha in your assets. I'll go, well, you could be rich, not have a bracha. So therefore, right, you can have 10 children, have less descendants, and someone has 1 child. Therefore, it's not for us to foresee the future. We have to find favor in Hashem's eyes by doing Torah, mitzvahs, working upon ourselves, working on our midas, and then the siyata deshmaya will come. See that Hashem runs the world, and if you're zoicha, you'll have a big bracha. If you're not zoicha, the bracha won't come. It doesn't go by figures. Nothing is guaranteed. Perek of Zayin, we meet about the Nachlois. And we talk about the Nachlo. The Gemara in Bava Basra, the Kuf Mem Zayin, looks for the source for Matna Shchiv Mira. No, we have the regular person dies, the son inherits the father, the sister, the brother, we have the regular rules. But what happens to someone who wants to give to his friends, he wants to give his, he wants to bequeath his assets to someone else? So you have to do a kinyan. You can do it. make a kinyan,
do it properly.
But you have a matna shchimira, that's a person who's dying. So by matna shchimira, he just says it, it's as if it's been written and given over. When a person dying, he says, you know, I want my car to go to the neighbor, so it goes to the neighbor, that's it. No kinyan needs to be done. What's the source for this? The Gemara initially thinks to say, it's from our parsha. It's extra words. The Gemara initially thinks it's the Raisa from his Pesukim. The Gemara ends up it's not the Raisa, it's Rabbanon. Why? Because says the Gemara on Kuf Mem Zayin on the base, it's Rabbanon Shemati Taref Daite Olam. He might lose his mind. What's he upset about? Says the Rashbam. Because if he will think that we're not going to follow his instructions, if his will will not be followed, the tsar he'll have will be so great he might lose his mind. Therefore, it's pikuach nefesh. So Bonnie calmed him down and said, you know what? Relax. We'll give you a special, we'll empower you. Whatever you say will be done. Says those nine Torah. Look at this, look what's happening. Make a simple observation. Here's a person who's dying. He knows he's dying. That's why he's giving away his stuff. He knows he's dying. He knows that very, very soon he's going right down under. He's going to leave all his assets behind. And he's going to go. The Gan Eden and the Gehenna will be open in front of him. Who knows where he's going to go? Maybe even his assets, maybe he spent too much time over them. Maybe they'll be dinner what he has. So what's the person think about? He's dying. He sees all heaven are falling. Nothing can save him. He's going away. He's passing away. Yet what's on his mind? The avo he has to his money is so great that even as he's dying, if he will think that he will go to someone he doesn't want him to go to, he might lose his mind. It's pikuach nefesh. That's how a person is linked to his money so much. But even as he's dying, he's going down into the ground. He's about to turn into a pile of dust. And all that money will not going to help him. Yet what is on his mind? He'd be so upset. He might. It's pikuach nefesh. We have to calm it down. So you know what? We'll follow what you said. That is how a person is connected to his money. It's such an avo. Of course, we have to be careful about this. Shouldn't blind us too much. Okay, two more points. You meet Bnei Tzlofchot. The prophet says in Perek of Zayin, "Vatikrav no Bnei Tzlofchot." Ve'elu shmoyis Bnei Tzlofchot. These are the names: Machlo, Noyo, Chogro, Milko, Vetirza. As Rashi, in Perek Lamedvav Yudalev, there the order is different. It's Machlo Vetirza. The order is different. Says Rashi, Melamed. Shkulam shkulois zu kazu. All equal, doesn't matter the order. Here we have one order of names, but elsewhere we have different order, they're all shkulois. The question is, the Rashi in Parshas Matzeh over there says that in Parshas Matzeh they have a different order because Modon afi chokhmoson. There's an order for how wise they are. There's an order, hierarchy of wisdom. So what's going on? How can these shkulais if they have a different levels of chokhmah? They're not shkulais. Make your mind up. How can it be that there's a level of chokhmah, a certain order, but they still they're all equal? They're not equal. So says the Gur Arya, I once heard this from Rabbi Berkowitz. The Maharal says that each one, the shkula is, each one had their own milam. Right, your one was machlo. She was special about for chokhmah. She was number one. But other ones also had their own milas and different things. The all shkula is in the fact that each one has their own unique mila. In the world of chokhmah, there's an order, but you know, for other milas, maybe for middas, there's a different order. The all shkula is. So that's a wonderful way to mechanech kids. You know, if you have a child who's special, don't tell him you're so special, and he can look and think himself being top of the world. People don't like children. People don't like to meet haughty people. You're special, but they're also special. You're special in your way, wonderful. You know, other kids also are special in their way. All shkulais. But everyone's different, but all shkulais. Everyone's special in their way. That's the lesson we learn from these Rashis. They're shkulais. They're still chokhmah. It's a way to look at people. Every person has, have you learned me kol adam? Every person has his maila, has his point that you can learn from. So just let's treat everyone as shkulais. Our last point, the end of the parasha. We meet the Tomit. Perek of Ches, Pasuk Aleph to Ches. We meet the Tomit. Tomit Shachar, Tomit Ben Arbaim. Rashi in Pasuk Aleph over there asks, why is this being repeated? Ready in Parshas Tetzaveh, in Chumash Mois, they're ready in Perek of Ches. They were told about the Tomit Shachar, Tomit Ben Arbaim. What's the repetition over in Parshas Pinchas? Says Rashi, there it's in, for the miluim. There was for chinuch hamizbeach, the coronation. It was the beginning of the mizbeach. That's what we told about Tomit Shachar, Tomit Ben Arbaim. In this week's parasha, it's the everyday service. So Rashi says, the Briskerov in Stenzel points out there's a difference between where the Torah writes in Parashas Pinchas to where the Torah writes it in Parashas Tetzaveh. In Parashas Tetzaveh it says Keves Ha'echod Ta'aseh B'Boker with a hay. In Parashas Pinchas it's Keves Echod Ta'aseh B'Boker without the hay. Hey, what's the difference? Says the Briskerov, Kedarkoi, brings the Rambam, based on a Gemara. The Rambam writes, in Tzmidim Musafim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis. Says the Rambam, Tohu, they made a mistake, or even on purpose, and they didn't bring the Tomit Shachar. They missed it out, even on purpose. They can still offer the Tomit Ben Arbaim. They can still go ahead and bring the afternoon korban. Says the Rambam, "Bemet v'olamurim keshenischanech hamizbeach." This is a mizbeach that's been used already. We have used it for offerings. Then you could delete. If you deleted the morning korban, you bring the afternoon one. Habim mizbeach chadosh shadayin lo korban of klum. If this is a brand new mizbeach and you miss the shachris korban, you can't go ahead with the afternoon korban. If you miss the morning one, you miss the afternoon one. Try again tomorrow. So the Briskerov, that's pshat. In Parashat Tetzaveh, which is the miluim, the coronation, the mizbeach, there's ho'echot, the one, korban echot tasa boker. It must be done in the morning. It's ma'akev. You didn't bring it, you can't proceed. In this week's parasha, it's the mizbeach already exists. Therefore, korban echot, it's the korban. You didn't do it. No, you can bring the afternoon korban. That's the Briskerov. What's the message of in this Yisoid? I think it's a very big, very, very, very big message. There's a difference the way things start off when things are already in motion. For example, we find in Hilchos Ases Metshuva that a person the whole year round, he eats pas akum. He's not makpid about pas akum, he eats pas akum. Still, during Ases Metshuva, he shouldn't eat pas akum. Why? I'm playing a game? Who am I trying to fool? It's not my level. I eat pas akum. I know it. So why should I play the game? Teretz is different because you're starting a new year. It's a new aschol. It's a chinuch. It's a beginning. When you begin things, do it right. Later on in life, in the year, no, you're not the level. Say that. But beginning, start off right. It's true for a child as well. But a child who's developed, okay, he has temperature. Don't worry about it. A newborn baby has temperature. It's like on the first. Much more sensitive. The beginning is much more sensitive. When Talmidim will get married, I will tell them, my perspective, make sure to daven with a minyan. The chosen, he's tired, he needs a melave, no, sleep in, say no, daven shachris b'yechidus. But no, don't. Make sure to organize yourself so you daven with a minyan. Why? It's the beginning. You're starting off your new home. Do it right. Later in life, it could happen. But when you're starting off, make sure to do it right. So, same thing with chinuch of the children. Keep them, could be in life, you have to compromise. But make sure that the young child, he gets things right. Gets the proper ashkafas, the proper importance, the right things. Even though we might not be that level. But the beginning has to be done right. And that's what we learn over here. During the year, you miss the shachris, you miss the Tomash Shachar, okay, you can even amaze it. You can still proceed with Tomash Ben Arbaim. But the Chinuch of the Mizbeach has to be done in the morning. You cannot proceed and bring the Tomash Ben Arbaim. Because you're starting out, you can't start off wrong, you have to start off right. Shkoyach, thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.